Welcome to Christ Church. My name is Reverend Mike. I'm the associate pastor. I am so glad to be sharing the word with you today. It's my honor. I hope that wherever you're at today, you know how much God loves you. Let's get into the word. Reverend Shane is gone this week. He is on vacation, but he'll be back tomorrow. We're continuing our playlist sermon series. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, your favorite musical artist's greatest hits. Although the entire Bible is God's greatest hits, there are certain scriptures we often see or use in our own lives. The Bible verses that we have been preaching on are those that we commonly see on t-shirts, on inspirational decor, on your Facebook timeline, or maybe your Bible app. Maybe they shoot them to you every once in a while. We are preaching on these because we want to make sure that you're a more literate Christian. We also want you to know the scripture contextually when you see them, and we want you to understand what they mean to your life. We want you to be able to apply God's word to your life in a way that God intends and not feel like you're using the scripture just kind of haphazardly. So let's press play on this sermon today. Last week, Zach talked to us about God's absolutely extravagant love by using the classic verse, John 3:16. Well, once we start to understand how much God loves us, something really incredible starts to happen. A desire for God starts to get built up within us. It's like this. Whenever somebody does something really nice for us, oftentimes you probably want to pay them back with gratitude, right? Maybe that's by giving them a thank you note, just saying thank you to them, or something that shows that you appreciate their care for you. Our relationship with God is really no different. Whenever we start to understand how much God loves us, we just naturally want to show him gratitude. When we understand how much God loves us, we have great clarity and great motivation about following God. We think, well, Jesus died for me. Jesus died for the whole world. Well, surely I can at least give my life to him. Well, sometimes it's easier said than done. It's kind of like buying P90X, the workout series. You stay at it for a couple weeks and you just kind of give up. Why? Well, it's hard, but it's also because of those confusing moves like wacky jacks. I mean, who in the world, wacky jacks? What? If you don't know what a wacky jack is, here's a picture of what a normal person looks like doing them. Absolutely awful. Those moves neither seem to help with our health or our self-esteem. You know, sometimes it feels like we are doing wacky jacks in our faith. Strange and difficult movements that seem counterinductive to our lives. We found out that following God, it's hard, and it can be confusing, to the point of some of us maybe even say, God, I just don't get it. So here's what I first want to start us out with today. If you don't feel like you get it, and you're a little confused, that's normal. Take a breath. Don't quit. If you tried these faith wacky jacks and you fell on your face, maybe it's just time to get back up and try again. Falling is a normal part of following our God. Sometimes this uncertainty that we feel makes us feel like we're doing something wrong. But I'm going to say just something astonishing to you today. Maybe you've been doing everything just right. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 and 6, they can help us in a time that we just don't get it. In order for us to wrap our heads around this though, I want us to look at the book of Proverbs. So let's get this backstory on one of God's greatest hits. First, Proverbs gives practical life advice. A large part of Proverbs gives solid life advice. If Jesus had Twitter, he would probably take the book of Proverbs and just go verse by verse and start tweeting it out. You know, Proverbs is perfect for Twitter because a proverb is defined in this way. It is a short, pithy saying stating a general truth or piece of advice. That pretty much describes Twitter for better or worse. Usually it's bad advice. If you spend time in the book of Proverbs, it won't take long to find some practical advice for every avenue of your life, from families to friends, from borrowing money to lending money, if you're a teacher, if you're a student, etc. There is advice for whatever you're going through, and it's done in poetic, fun Hebrew humor. It actually reminds me a little bit of our own senior pastor, Reverend Shane's vernacular. Check this tweet that he had from last month. This is what he said in this tweet. Leadership in 2017... it's like walking across the Midwest cow pasture. No matter how hard you try not to, you're bound to step in something. Bam! Proverbial. A very proverbial thought on leadership. If you're a leader, expect to find yourself in messes. It's just part of the job. I think practical advice is important for another reason when we look at Proverbs. It helps us understand that God wants us to think practically about our own lives, making everyday decisions, to planning major life events that take both trust in God and also practicality. I know some of us will start to get spirituality is a part of following God, and God will speak to us, but sometimes we get a little bit out there, do you know what I mean, where like everything is so spiritual and we don't brush our teeth for 3 weeks because we don't think the Lord wants us to. Well, I don't think so. I think you might want to listen to your dentist about that one, and God is good with that. So what Proverbs does is it kind of balances us out. The kingdom is both now and not yet, meaning that, yeah, stuff is spiritual, but God wants us to be practical about things as well. Another part of the book of Proverbs, number two, is wisdom, wisdom, and I'll take a little extra wisdom. Wisdom is a key feature in the book of Proverbs. It is personified and shown to be the ultimate prize in life because wisdom helps us operate in a world at a high level, including our relationships and our jobs. If we have wisdom from God, everything in our life begins to change. Now look at Solomon for a second, the Old Testament king. He was the writer of most of these Proverbs. God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom. Solomon asked for it. God gave him wisdom. And he had a kingdom to run. That gift of wisdom made him highly effective as a king. Did you know that if Solomon's net worth, if he was today, his net worth would be $2.1 trillion? That's like 25 Bill Gates. That guy was rich. Now, I'm not saying God's wisdom is for us to get money or anything like that. Hear me about that. But I believe God's wisdom will make you highly effective at whatever you do. Whether that is leading a nonprofit, is that raising your kiddos or something else, God's wisdom will make you effective. Proverbs pushes the reader to do whatever you have to do to get wisdom. It calls upon a person's emotions, their desires, and invites them to live a life in wisdom's way. Proverbs gives many tangible blessings that a wise person can attain. However, there is a little bit of a caveat before you can get all these this wisdom type of blessing over you. And that leads us to number three. The foundation of wisdom, that's a relationship with God. In order for a person to receive wisdom, it must be in the confines of a relationship with God. If we need God's wisdom and want to receive it, this active relationship is vital. Not a perfect relationship, but an active relationship. If we have been reaching out to God, then we're in the perfect spot to receive wisdom for him. He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's just looking for you to keep turning to him. God will give you wisdom. Isn't that awesome? However, if we ignore our relationship with God, we will not be able to have this grandioso, life-changing wisdom that he wants to give us. The beginning of Proverbs, actually chapter 1, verse 7, kind of helps us with this approach with God and our relationship with him. It says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That basically means in order for us to get wisdom, we got to have a respect for God and how he wants us to live our lives. Now, there's a lot of good reasons that God wants us to respect him and be in relationship with him before he gives us wisdom. One is that if God gives us wisdom without respect for him, we're not going to know how to use it responsibly. With godly wisdom, there isn't an age requirement or anything like that. You can be a super young Christian and God can give you an outpouring of wisdom. The only requirement is this relationship with respect. Sometimes we don't receive wisdom because we are not taking our relationship with God seriously. Proverbs shows us that we should trust God so much, that it actually turns into practical trust. And for some of us, that's hard. You know, one of my friends, Ben Belvin, I actually saw him a couple weeks ago here at Christ Church. He has been here for a long time, and he shared an incredible testimony with me. He said before he got serious about his relationship with God, he was just a good church person. He would even volunteer for a few things. He attend weekly, and I love when he said this. He said, "I even put some money in the plate when it came by." But there was a point about 16 years ago when Ben was going through a time of brokenness. Ben told God that he would start taking their relationship more seriously once he made it to this spot. After he said to God, "God, I want this practical trust in you. I'm taking you seriously," everything started changing in his life. Thanks, Ben, for sharing your story with me and how you have allowed God to have every bit of you. Let's get into the scripture today. It starts out like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, this Hebrew phrase, it conveys sincerity over strength. Sincerity over strength. In other words, you don't have to be at your strongest to trust God. You just need sincerity. God is looking for your heart over your strength. God wants you to bring whatever you have to him. He doesn't need you to be full or whole before you come to him. He just wants you. If we are waiting for this perfect moment to trust God, you know what? We're going to wait forever. One of my favorite scriptures in the New Testament that I get just a lot of every day ministry to myself and I share with others in one way or another is when Jesus talked about the mustard seed of faith. And basically what the mustard seed faith is, just a really small seed, and it grows into a big tree, what they considered a big tree over there in the ancient Near East. But the idea here is that we have enough faith to do what God is calling us to do. Whatever it is that God's calling you to do, however he's asking you to trust in him with all your heart, you have enough faith right now. You don't need to compare yourself to some preacher or some woman or man of God that you know. Right now you have enough faith, even if it's just a little bit. So you can trust in God with that little bit of faith. I encourage you to do so. And if you do that, truly, God will make your faith very, very big. I believe that you can trust God with your entire heart. I really do believe that. There's nothing that can stop you from doing it. And if you feel like there is, it's probably just a mental block. Trust God with your whole heart today. The next part of verse 5 says, lean not on your own understanding. I think we can actually gain some comfort and hope from this, even though that might sound a bit strange. See, this part of the verse means two things. God is at some point going to have us do something or be a part of something that we don't understand, and it's going to appear like God is not with us, right? Because if we are going to lean not on our own understanding, that means at some point God is going to do something we don't get or we don't understand. Every time God is teaching us something new, it has to appear like God is not present. This is just a part of the learning cycle, stretching our faith. You know, we have to fail at times. It's a part of growth. Many of you, I know, have sent your kids off to college. And from what I hear that can be very scary. But why do we push our kids forward, whether that's college or to a job or to get married or whatever it is? It's because we know that when they leave the nest, there's a next level of growth for them. And plus, I don't want my kids under my roof my whole life. I don't know about you. But we know that it's really best for them that they will grow into be the adults that they need to be. If a person never leaves the nest, their growth will be stunted. But it's in leaving the nest that they learn how to fly. And we're going to fly in our faith. It takes being in situations where we have to walk by faith. If you are in a place where you are not leaning on your own understanding, oh, have some joy today. Rejoice, because God is working in you and he's taking you through a growth season. And guess what follows a growth season? Great blessing. God may appear like he's not there, but you know what? God is always there. God is teaching you something new that you could only learn by walking by faith. Let's go to verse 6. Seek his will in all you do. How do we seek God's will in all we do? I think an easy way to do this is just ask for advice. Think of God like the best consultant you could ever have. Imagine you were starting up a fried chicken restaurant and you had Colonel Sanders, who was your advisor, right? That would be awesome. He knows some stuff about chicken. Well, you wouldn't be so excited if you started, like, the only person you had in your advisory council was like Mr. Jimmy John's, would you? Why? Because that dude doesn't know anything about fried chicken. Come on. But if you had Colonel Sanders, you would be good as gold. And I think that God is pretty much the Colonel Sanders of life advice. And you can tweet that if you'd like. Just don't put me in that tweet. All right. Now, I need to mention that if you are trusting God with something and seeking his will in all you do, this isn't a lone adventure. You can't do it on your own. We have to surround ourselves with other Christians that are seeking God with all their hearts as well. Even your Christian and brother and sister may not be able to see what God is doing in you. That's really common. And that's where just Christian community comes. There comes a point where, you know, God starts to speak to you about something and you start to follow him, and basically you try to get around other Christian brothers and sisters and they'll be like, okay, maybe so. It sounds biblical, but we're not hearing that from God. A good Christian community just kind of surrounds you, loves on you, prays for you, and say, we're going to believe with you whatever you're going through. And that's the kind of Christian community we have to have when we're seeking God with all our heart and seeking his will in all we do. We have to walk with others that seek his will. You know, we have a couple ways that we're doing this around Christ Church coming up. One is the church study, all church study, be a game changer. That could be a place, if you're not having community like that, you could find it there. I know we're going to have going deepers at all of our services, at all the campuses this fall. I believe there's a small group dynamic that follows that. That would be another way to have a great time of community, someone walking with you through it. And there's one other thing that I'm personally excited about because I'm the head of it. It's our new Unstuck worship service. We're going to have support group time available after this worship service for people to talk through their spiritual stuckness together. The support groups will be a place where you can share, you know, kind of what the word, how it hit you that evening, and find other people who feel the exact same way. And that's how spiritual growth or unstuckness occurs, by walking and talking with others through it. Love to have you involved with Unstuck Worship if you would like to. Our training starts this Thursday at 6:30 on the third floor of Fairview Heights campus. And then our first actual full go service is September 14th at 6:30. If you feel stuck spiritually, come join us. Here's my overall point. When we're seeking God's will in all we do, we have to have some type of good Christian community around us. Let's move to verse 6. He will show you what path to take. Some people say following God means that you have to take the longer road to get to the future that God has for you. Some people think that, like, if you follow God, everything's going to be longer. Well, I vehemently disagree with that. It may seem like it's the longer way, but in actuality, it's going to be the shorter way. You know, I love that we have GPS on our phones. I know we've had it for years, but I still just absolutely love it. I've moved a lot over the last 11 years, so they've been very helpful to me and my wife. It's made traveling so much easier. And one of the things I really love about GPS is if you miss your turn, you don't have to find a place and turn around and go back to the road that you missed. It will find a new route for you. When my family and I were on vacation just last month, we went to Wisconsin Dells. Now, my wife and I followed my mother and stepfather on the drive up to Wisconsin Dells. For my parents, the GPS seems to confuse them. It's like some type of Middle Ages mystic device that requires someone with a sorcerer's degree to operate. I still don't get it. Sorry, Mom and Doug, if you're watching this. Now, when we were 3 hours into our four-hour drive, my parents took a turn that took us off the interstate. Me and my wife had our GPS on as well, and we followed them. And as we followed them, there was more and more time being added to our destination. First, it was just a few minutes. But as we continued to drive, it was 5, 10, then 15 minutes. You can just feel the tension. So you know what I'm talking about in that car. Now, when you're traveling with two children, a 4-year-old and 1-year-old, adding 3 minutes to a trip feels about like 13 years every time around. But something amazing happened as we continued to follow them. The time to our destination started dropping. It dropped to the point that we actually saved 5 minutes on our trip. What I found out later was that their GPS was picking up the construction that mine was not. I was wrong. If we had ended up staying on the interstate using my GPS, the trip would have been much longer. You know, God is the ultimate GPS for you and I. He sees paths that we're going on that are going to slow us down, and he sees a path for you and I that's going to speed everything up. If God shows us a path that it seems like it's going to be the long way, in actuality, it is going to get us where we want to go the quickest. Trust God. Every time we seek God's will in all we do, he is getting us closer to our goals, whether we see it or whether we don't see it. He's getting us there fast. If God shows you the path, take it. It's the best way to your destination. All right, let's wrap things up here. I have 3 ways we can apply this greatest hit to our life. First, ask God how to write your life song. Begin every day asking God for the gift of wisdom and how you can align your life with that wisdom. God wants you to be highly effective in everything you do. Sometimes I think some of us have a hard time with that. But God wants you to be highly effective at whatever you're doing. Ask God for wisdom. You will get highly effective at it, but just put your life in that direction as well. In order for God to give us this precious gift, he needs to know we're in a committed relationship with him. Number two, dance with the spiritual and the practical. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us to trust that God is doing something incredible, supernatural, beyond our understanding, that calls us to trust him with absolutely everything that we have. But this popular scripture verse is placed in a very practical and commonplace sense in the Bible. For us to make it to the destination God has planned for us, we're going to have to trust God big and also use common sense practicality in our everyday lives. If you think God is getting you ready for some incredible opportunity, wonderful. Make sure you are doing your due diligence so you are ready for the next blessing. Denzel Washington, famous actor, incredible actor, recently said this in a commencement speech. Dreams without goals, they're just dreams, and they will ultimately fuel disappointment. The point I'm making is this. God calls us into this incredible spiritual adventure. We have to make sure we're doing our part so we get to the destination. We need to dance with the spiritual and practical. And finally, put the greatest hits on repeat. Is there a song you love to play over and over again? In my house, it's Moana soundtrack. You're welcome. Your parents know what I'm talking about. We keep songs on repeat because we're getting something from them. We like it. Something in the song connects with us. If you're going through something right now and you keep saying, God, I don't get it, I don't understand, then you need to put Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 on repeat in your heart, in your mind, in your prayer life. Every time you start to worry, say, God, I trust you with all my heart. Every time you start to doubt, God, I'm not leaning on my own understanding. Every time you feel like you can't see where God is taking you, God, you promise me you will show me what path to take. Say it, breathe it, believe it. Put it on repeat. My friends, following God is not an easy task. If you keep feeling like you don't understand what God is doing, you're not alone. You're on the journey. Hold on to this greatest hit, because when it's all said and done, our God is going to make your path straight. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you so much for this time today. We know, Lord God, that it is difficult to trust in you. You've done so much for us, Jesus, given your entire life for us. We cannot believe what you have done. And it just beckons us. It calls us to give you everything that we have. But God, we fall short. And it's almost embarrassing to say, God, after all you have done, we still need your help. We thank you, God, that you see that and that you love us. And you're not asking us for all our strength. You're just asking us for sincerity. You're not asking us to have it all together. You're asking us just to have a mustard seed of faith. So God, we pray today, with that little bit of mustard seed of faith in our hearts and in our minds, that we begin to say, we trust you. Some of us may be fighting, Lord, taking our own path. But God, today, we say we trust you. We're not going to lean on our own understanding. And we believe you are going to make our path straight. We can't wait to see what you are going to do. It's in your Son's name we pray this. Amen.